thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
So you sit there and you wait. You look around, there's other people waiting. There are some that are just scrolling through their phone. There are others reading old magazines. Some are watching the updated news with no sound. All of a sudden, you notice that you've been there for 10 minutes. You've been there for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. People are being added to the waiting room. And all of a sudden, you think to yourself, did they forget me? Should I go and tell the person behind the desk, hey, so what's up? Right? I showed up when I was supposed to show up. And all of a sudden you remember to yourself, no, I came in, I did everything that was asked of me, right? So they know that I'm here. I can trust the process, right? And all of a sudden, what you find yourself not doing is running into the examining room or the office in the back and saying, where's my doctor? No, you restrain yourself because you know that there's a process, right? And for as much as you can discern, nobody that was in the waiting room now also went ahead of you, right? So we're just waiting, trusting. And all of a sudden, what you find is that you're waiting in silence. You're trusting the process. It's not as if there's chaos or the office is out of control. There's a silence where you're assured that when the time comes, you are going to be called. And it is this silence that we ourselves as believers can put our faith and trust in. Because sometimes we don't hear from God. Sometimes we don't see Him moving. And we find that God is sometimes busy behind the scenes. And the only thing we need to do is wait until our name is called. And that's what David was experiencing in Psalm 62. There's a trust that he has in God. And in that trust, there's a deep silence, and we'll hear that. And David would also address those that are trying to hurt him. But regardless of those who are trying to hurt him, he is anchored in the character of God more than what he sees or what he's experiencing. He knows that God is present even though he might not see him, even though he might be waiting. He is willing to trust in silence. Let me ask you, do you do that? Do you trust in silence? Or are you the individual that after 5 minutes you go up to that counter and go, I'm here, right? Or do you stew with annoyance, especially if you see somebody that came in after you get called in front of you, right? And you go, what's up here, right? There's this power in silence, right? And that's what we are going to see. And there's something that you and I can learn about silence, because sometimes it is in those silent moments that God answers your prayer and my prayer, where all of a sudden we make a decision not to make so much noise, right? It's almost as if, do you really think God doesn't hear your needs or your prayers? Do you really see yourself as one that has to get in front of God so that he can notice you, right? He sees you, and he knows exactly what you and I need, right? So it starts off to the choir master, and we've heard in the past, we've been going through the Psalms throughout this year, right? And many would say that the choir master, the very one who received this psalm, is God himself, right? That he is the head choir master. Right, and then this individual, Jeduthun, right, he is identified, I believe, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 41 and 42. And we find that not only is he there leading this song, but he's also a doorman, right? It's somebody who stands at the door. At the doorpost, and you can see that he's looking to do service, right? But it's a Psalm of David. We don't know when in his life he was having troubles, right? But it's one of those scenes in Scripture where he's struggling with individuals, but he is putting more trust in God than in what he is experiencing. And as we listen to this psalm, right, there's three individuals. There's God that we're going to hear of. There's David. And then those that are creating a difficult time for David. And you could put yourself into this psalm, right, because in your life we have God. We have ourselves, and then those individuals that sometime want to make life difficult for you and for me, right? So he starts off, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved or shaken. Right, and one of the things that you'll hear over and over again is this little Hebrew word that's been translated either to only or alone, right? And you can see how many times it's said over and over again, right? Here's David's position, and it's something that's very subtle. In this first two verses, he's not saying that I need this from you. He's saying this is who God is to me, right? For God alone, my soul waits. Ask yourself, how many times you and I are in need of something, and instead of going to God, we go to something else. And then we ask God to bless it, right? Or we might go to God and to an individual at the same time. Right, and there's something about God where he is just jealous, right? And yes, sometimes you might argue with me and say, well, you know what, it's the doctor is the one that God uses in order to provide his blessing through the healing and all, right? But I think what Scripture says is that before we do anything, we should seek him in prayer first. There's a theologian, John Trapp, right? And he makes this illustration, right? He says, whether you have a foot on a rock or a foot in sinking sand, you might as well have 2 feet in sinking sand because you are going to sink. Right? But we can see David, right? For God alone, there's nobody else. There's nobody other than God and God alone that his soul, the innermost part of David, his nephesh, waits silently, right? Because he knows that God has answered in the past and God will answer again. From him and him alone comes my salvation, right? He's the one that provides what we need. He alone is my rock. He alone is my salvation. He alone is my fortress. And as a result of all of that, I shall not be greatly shaken. Right? Ask yourself, right? That's how many times do you go through a life situation and you go, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going through this. Right? Only to be reminded that maybe a short while in the past, you went through something such as painful. And all of a sudden you find, man, the Lord did get me through it. Right? Even though I never thought that I was going to be able to get through it, but the Lord got me through it. The Lord is actually still getting me through it. Right? Because for some of us, we're still holding on to God. And as a result, I shall not be greatly shaken. Because the answer is in God and God alone. Right? And my hope is that you would be able to trust God in that way, to wait silently, right? To hold yourself, restrain yourself. And just because things don't seem to be moving in your time span, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen in God's time span. Right? So again, we started with David just pretty much acknowledging all that God is to him. Right? And that he is David's all. Nobody else is he looking for, right? Now, David addresses the people that are out to hurt him. Right? How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence, right? He uses this illustration, right? That David is describing himself, somebody who's been beat up, right? You ever seen one of those old fences that lean in and the only thing it needs is like a little push? Right? That's how David is describing himself. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood, right? So they tell lies, right, about the individual. And then when they see him face to face, they bless him with their mouths, but inwardly they curse him, right? You and I know people like that, right? People that are looking to put you down, but meanwhile they go, hey, you know what? We're with you, right? It's like, yeah, I don't need you anywhere near me, right? And then we have this musical phrase, Selah, and Selah is, well, think about and contemplate what was just said, right? Is God your only? Is he, right? Or are you looking for praises from men. Because if you're looking for praises from men, they will let you down. Right? They will let you down. Right? From humanity, you cannot find your rock. From humanity, you cannot find your salvation. From humanity, it cannot be your fortress. Right? All of that is going to let you down. That's the comparison David is making here. Right? And I know that sometimes you and I go through difficult times. Right? And it seems that the people that are the closest to us are the ones that are attacking us the most. Right? And in the midst of that, you have to lift your head above all of that noise and make a decision. Let me be silent. Let me hear from God and hear what He has to say to me. Now David changes again, and now he is talking to himself. Have you ever talked to yourself? Right? People listen to you and they go, man, he's crazy. He's talking to himself, right? But sometimes it's good to talk to yourself, right? Because in talking to yourself, you reaffirm what you know. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. Right? It's like David is saying, in God alone I wait. Okay, Jose, do you hear what you need? Your soul needs to hope in Him and Him alone. Right? He's doing that self-talk. And for most of us, we all have that self-talk. Like, ask yourself, when all of a sudden you start having thoughts, or you ask, say to yourself, boy, that's a new idea, right? And, well, whose voice is that in your head, right? And sometimes we have to change those old tapes that are in our head. And we need to be reminded, and it's all of a sudden I need to encourage Jose to wait on the Lord and to be in silence, right? Not to make noise, but to wait. He alone is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Right? It sounds similar to the end of verse 2, where he says, I will not be greatly shaken. Right? It's almost as if he has progressed from, I was going to be shaken a little bit, and now, as a result of my relationship with God, I am not going to be moved. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. I hope God is all of those things for you. That when you stop and you reflect on your relationship with God, that you can say, He is my rock, He is my salvation, He is my fortress, He is my glory, He is my mighty rock, He is my refuge, right? You can see how David personalized this, right? So again, this is David's internal voice speaking to himself. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Did you notice it? Did you hear it? All of a sudden, David takes his experience, and now he wants to teach others. right? That you too can have what he has. Right? That you too can trust in him at all times, right? And here's how you can translate that, right? That as you're trusting in him in all times, you can be silent in him as you wait for him. Oh, people, pour out your hearts before him, right? He's the only one that has our answer, right? Listen, if it's between God and me that you bring your problems to, bring them to God, right? Bring them to God, right? Because guess where I'm going to point you to? Go to God, right? Because I can't save you, right? But he can. Not only can he save us, he's going to save us all if we put our faith and trust in him. Right? But pour out your heart before him. Bring all of those things that you are hurting with, right, to God. Lift them up to him. And he and he alone will give you what you need. Because as scripture says, God is a refuge for us, right? It's not a small little place where it's just going to be for one or two people. It's for all of us, right? It's a refuge, right? It's a constant reminder of what we have in Jesus Christ, especially in the Gospel of John, John 14, right? In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will take you to where I am, right? That's the refuge that he himself has prepared for all of us. And then as a result, he says, Salah, he says, well, meditate on that. Think on that. Reflect on that. And do it in your silent times. Those of low estates are but a breath, and those of high estates are a delusion. In the balance, they go up, and they are together lighter than a breath. Right? Some of your translations will say vapor. Right? They're just a mist. There are people in high positions, people in low positions, but none of them are going to give you what only God can give you. Right? You hear what it says? Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hope on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Right there, I was in the city yesterday, and my wife and I, with my daughter, her fiance, and his parents, right, we took them all to Radio City Music Hall, right, for the Christmas Spectacular, right? And as we were driving down, right, on the Henry Hudson, all of a sudden, as we're making a left-hand turn on 56th Street, right, there were six different individuals there in the medium, begging, right? And immediately you think, oh, I feel sorry for them, right? And it's like, but you're watching, right? And some of them had their kids. And yeah, in your mind you go, well, they have nobody to lead their kids with, right? But then you see them with their iPhones, right? Because here's the thing, right? It's their phones give them away, right? It's like they should be busy begging, but instead they got their head in the phone and the kid has the sign, right? And all of a sudden your heart breaks, right? But here it is. Those of low estates are but a breath. And then in contrast, you see the wealthy in the city, right? And they are just a delusion, right? They try to extort you, take from you, right? And here's one of the things, right? On a side note, right? So we're there watching and enjoying the show, right? And then at the end of the show, right, they give the Christmas story, right? And my wife and I said, wow, right? It's like, they're talking about Jesus, right? They're talking about the one who came, right? And all of a sudden, it was there in the middle of a Radio City Music Hall. And it's like, boy, God is still doing what God does, right? Yeah. Right. And all of a sudden, I thought about this psalm, right? And I'm sitting there with all the noise, all the lights, all the Santa Clauses, all of it, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, thank you, God. Right, right. It's in the noise that you find the silence, right? Thank you, Lord. Right. Thank you that even with this new mayor, thank you. Right, right. Things are not out of control. Thank you. You are still in control. Right. Here's David. Right. He says, once God has spoken and twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. Right? He says, I heard God speak once, but I heard two things out of that one utterance. That power is God and God's alone, and that steadfast love, that chesed, that covenant love, that loyal, loving kindness belongs to God and God alone, that he is never going to cease in providing it. And then he ends with this, with a reminder. For you will render to man according to your works, right? That you will provide justice to the world. That nobody, regardless of who they are going to get away with it. And all of a sudden, as a result of that, I can wait in silence. You can wait in silence. Right? I want you to see silence as a tool to draw you closer to God. Remember Jesus in the middle of ministry, his disciples would say, well, where is he? Can't he see that we have all these people that are coming and they're looking for Jesus to heal him, to touch them, right? And all of a sudden they would say, oh, he left to pray. Right, to be with the Father, to be in silence, right? And Scripture shows us that the things that benefited Jesus will benefit you and me if we do them. Not that we trust in our own abilities, but that we do them in faith, right? That as we sit in silence, seeking the only one who has your answer and my answer, that he will provide that insecurity, that we will be able to trust him wholeheartedly, that we would be able to trust Jesus himself, our Lord and Savior. Right? So maybe you're here, and maybe as this message is winding down, you feel your heart beating because you got things to go. You got places to visit. You got to go shopping. You might have to go home and make a meal. You might have to get ready for work tomorrow. And you're already thinking about all the things you have to do tomorrow or the rest of the week. And God's saying, no, I need you here. And if you can get this one right, maybe the rest of your week will be a little bit better. And it starts with silence, right? So I'm just going to provide a few moments of silence right now as you pray to God, right? And then when I feel that we spent enough time, I will close this in prayer, and then we will sing our last worship, and right? So let us sit and seek God now in silence. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you provide this for each and every one of us as long as we seek you. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to believe in your finished work. Help us to know that you want the best for us. And we see that our Father in heaven gave his very best for us. For those of us who would put our hope and trust in Jesus' finished work, we would have life beyond this life. So Lord, let not our eyes get overwhelmed by what we see, but help us to see you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters. You know what they need. You know what they are seeking. And I pray above all the things that they need, that they would need you more. May you be their God, their salvation, their rock, their mighty fortress, their refuge. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.